How many did last week's homework? It was reading Genesis 22. How many forgot? How many just didn't want to read it? Okay, I was just checking. The word listen. Definition is to make a conscious effort to hear. So let's go to Genesis 22, please. That's the story of Abraham and Isaac. We'll start at verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set about for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. So God told Abraham, take your son, the promise I gave you, your seed, your hopes, your aspirations, your dreams for the future. Remember, God told him that his seed would be like the sands of the seashore. So this dude was key to the rest, to all of the promises of God happening for Abraham. And he says, take that and kill it. Well, he had a lot of time to think about that. He traveled for 3 days before he saw the mountain off in the distance. That's kind of rough. And then in verse 6 it talks about he carried the fire and the knife, and Isaac carried the wood. And it seems to me that a lot of times in our walk with God, we sabotage our hard efforts by forgetting or not being prepared. You know, Isaac could have forgotten the knife or the fire and gone up there and said, "Oh, gee, I can't do this today. Shucks." That would have been pretty convenient, huh? I've done things like that. So the fire and the knife are both destructive things that were in God's purpose. The work of the cross is just like this, where it looks like the promises of God and our gifts are going to get axed or burned up. But does the work of the cross happen automatically? Or are we kind of involved in that? I think we're involved. God isn't going to put a bridle in our mouth. Is that where you wear those? A bit. He's not going to put a bit in our mouth and then pull on the reins and yank us around and force us to go a certain direction. He's much more loving and gentle than that. And he woos us into the situation where we can surrender these things. We, you know, Let's keep going on with this. So Isaac said in verse 7, Father, yes, my son. Are you losing it, Dad? We got the fire in the wood and no lamb. So Isaac was going along for 3 days, kind of scratching his head, trying to figure out what was going on. And Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb. So even when God is asking us to go to the mountain to do a certain thing, he will provide. Our natural response is to produce something for God. I think that's a religious response within all of us. But God has already produced that. So this all started out by Abraham hearing the voice of the Lord. Then when Abraham had it all together, in verse 11, the angel called out to him and said, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the boy. Well, first of all, Abraham had this commandment to go do this thing. And in our religious nature, we get this idea of what God wants, and we're just going to go do it because God said. But God is still saying. And if Abraham had stopped listening to the Lord, he would have killed his son. I see in the church today an agenda. We have to do what God said. And people go about and try to accomplish what they feel God wants them to do, but they're not listening. I'm thankful that Abraham listened. So he looked up and there was a ram caught by its horns, and he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it instead of his son. Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Go to him and go with him to the mountain. The Spirit is always calling us out of our comfort zone, away from our home, to the mountain. The only way we can really worship is by listening. And when we hear him, we'll see him. I know that people that know Greek have told me that the Greek word for the word has in its context the action as well. And when we hear the word, we're enabled by that word. It's not a dead thing. Let's look at a couple of other interesting things. Since we're in the Old Testament, let's skip ahead to 1 Samuel. We'll look at 1 Samuel 15. And a little background on that. Saul was king, and the Lord sent Saul out and his armies to destroy the Amalekites. And after he gets back, he gets he has to deal with the prophet Samuel, and that's when things start to deteriorate. Saul was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites, every man, woman, child, and animal. And most likely, I forget, but he's probably told to burn the place to the ground as well. Well, he didn't quite do that. And in verse 20, Saul said, "But I did obey the Lord. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal." And Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? For obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." I think we want to give a sacrifice. I think it's part of our nature. But we need to hear. We need to listen to what he's saying. So Saul got part of it right, but he stopped listening. If we go over to Matthew 17, there's another mountaintop experience talked about. And starting at verse 1, "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah.'" See, there was in this situation, and oftentimes in our lives, we come into the presence of the Lord, or God just comes into our presence, and we're not sure what to do. It feels awkward sometimes, like we have only got one leg. You know, we can't walk, we can't do anything right. And the natural response is, let's do something about it. Let's do something for God. And while Jesus was yet speaking, or while Peter was yet speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And you know what happens after that. I was checking in Matthew 2 about the Magi who came when Jesus was born. And they were astrologers, and they followed a star, and they had read some prophecies or something. And they showed up, and they gave a kind of a worship. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So they brought gold and perfume. And I think we've always had it in our minds that this is a beautiful thing. And obviously, the baby Jesus was due this, right? I mean, if you had to give Jesus something, Gold would be appropriate. Perfume for his burial. And then the Magi took off. They brought a sacrifice. They brought an offering. But I don't really think they hooked up with Jesus. They missed it. We come to the Lord out of our riches. With all the gifts and everything that he's given us, it's easy to give those things to him. But what about listening? See what Mark 12 says. There's something in there for us, I think. I get two Bibles and I'm getting confused. I want to read this out of the Message. Forgive me for messing you up. You won't be able to follow. This guy Peterson writes in a way that there's no way. In verse 28, one of the religion scholars came up, hearing the lively exchanges of question and answer and seeing how sharp Jesus was in his answers. He put in his question, which is the most important of all the commandments? Jesus said, the first importance is, listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. Isn't that cool? And here's the second. Love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these. The religion scholar said, a wonderful answer, teacher, so lucid and accurate, that God is one and there is no other, and loving him with all passion and intelligence and energy, and loving others as well as you love yourself. Why, that's better than all offerings and sacrifices put together. When Jesus realized how insightful he was, he said, you're almost there, right on the border of God's kingdom. Cracks me up. After that, no one else dared ask him a question. Yeah, what are you going to do there? I think when we open up to the passion that's deep within us, we're going to be hungry for every word that he speaks. We're going to be listening. And I like in Romans 12, that's really good in the Message also. I know you're going to love it. In verse 1, of course. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. So we don't need a big sacrifice. We just need us. And go over to Philippians 2, please. It's giving you a workout, huh? Think of yourselves, what verse is that? 5? Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created things in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ. All of the privileges we have are from him. Let's not cling so tightly to him that we're not listening to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Psalm 51 talks about, we're not going there, but talks about, remember that's David's prayer or psalm to the Lord after he sinned with Bathsheba. And what does he say? Sacrifice is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you won't despise. So we don't need to conjure up things to bring to God. We just listen. Listen to him daily. Listen to him minute by minute. Amen. That's it. Stand with me, please. We thank you for the word that we've heard this morning. It's disturbed our hearts because we recognize that you're speaking. We may not always be listening. And Father, we ask you to open up the realm of the Spirit to us that we might hear, that we might obey. We pray for one another here that each might be able to have an open heart with an open ear to hear what you're saying to the church. Father, we ask for that sensitive, open heart to you, that we might obey, that we might follow thy word completely, that there be nothing that we would miss, but like an obedient servant looking to the eyes and to the heart of the master, that we might know your every thought, your every word, your every will, and we can come into alignment with that. Come into oneness with it. For therein is life, therein is joy, therein is the light. We thank you for it, Lord.
Lamb of God. Bless you. See you again.